The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on January 20th, 1995 in Tirupati, Andhra Pradesh, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 20, verse 15.
If you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahmana authorities, as they are received by the disciplic succession by hearing from master to disciple, and if you follow the religious principle laid down by them without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction, then every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you. And very soon you will be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanandana, and Sanat Kumar. Period. One sentence. Purport. Lord Vishnu advised King Prithu that everyone should follow the principles of Arnashram Dharma. Then in whatever capacity one remains within this material world, his salvation is guaranteed after death. You have to go simultaneous. In this age, however, since the system of Arnashram Dharma is topsy-turvy, It is very difficult to strictly follow all the principles. The only method for becoming perfect in life is to develop Krishna consciousness as Varnashram Dharma. Is executed from different positions by different men, so the Krishna consciousness principles can be followed by everyone in every part of the world. There is a specific purpose in mentioning herein that one should follow the Dvijagryas, the most prominent brahmanas like Parasura and Manu. These great sages have already given us instructions on how to live according to the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. Similarly, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami have given us rules and regulations for becoming pure devotees of the Lord. It is essential, therefore, to follow the instructions of the Acharyas in the Parampara system, who have received the knowledge as passed down from spiritual master to disciple. In this way, although living in our material condition of life, we can get out of the entanglement of material contamination without leaving our positions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, therefore, that one does not have to change his position. One simply has to hear from the perfect source. This is called parampara, and follow the principles for practical applications in life. Thus one can attain the highest perfection of life liberation and go back home, back to Godhead. In other words, the change required is a change in consciousness, not in the body. Unfortunately, in this fallen age, people are concerned with the body and not with the soul. They have invented so many isms pertaining to the body only, not to the soul. In the modern age of democracy, there are so many government representatives voting for legislation. Every day they bring out a new law. But because these laws are only mental concoctions manufactured by inexperienced, conditioned souls, they cannot give relief to the human society. Formerly, although the kings were autocrats, they strictly followed the principles laid down by great sages and saintly persons. Therefore, there were no mistakes in ruling over the country, and everything went perfectly. The citizens were completely pious, the king levied taxes legitimately, and therefore the situation was very happy. At the present moment, the so-called executive heads are more or less selected from materially ambitious persons who simply look after their own personal interests. They have no knowledge of the Shastras. In other words, the executive heads are fools and rascals in the strict sense of the terms, and the people in general are Sudras. This combination of fools and rascals and sudras cannot bring about peace and prosperity in the world. Therefore, we find periodic upheavals in society in the forms of battles, communal riots, and fratricidal quarrels. Under these circumstances, not only are the leaders unable to lead the people toward liberation, but they cannot even give them peace of mind. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that everyone who lives on concocted ideas without reference to the Shastras never becomes successful and does not attain happiness or liberation after death. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Text 15, in the matter of Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena. So here Lord Vishnu was blessing Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj was a Shaktavesh incarnation of the Lord, playing the part as a king. So therefore, Lord Vishnu in his original form his full forehead and form, he appeared in his sacrifice. And he was giving him blessings. So the blessings here are that if he follows the brahmanas in his management of his kingdom, follows the shastra and the authorities, then the whole kingdom will be peaceful, happy, and he will be able to achieve the association of very great liberated personalities. It's very important that we take up devotional service according to the advice of authorities, sadhus, shastra, and guru. These three things, sadhu, shastra, and guru, are the professional guides. They're the absolute authority for spiritual advancement. Now, there are many scriptural evidences about the importance of varnashram dharma. But also, in this age of Kali, gradually it has become very difficult for people to practice varnashram. The hereditary system is practically in a shambles, in a disarray. Very few people follow the traditions of the forefathers perfectly. Many brahmanas and kshatriya, they don't even go through the upanayana. If they do, afterwards they take off the thread and throw it in many places. They don't follow strictly the daily system of doing tri sandhya and other things. In Kali Yuga it's a kalo sudra sambhava. Everyone is born sudra. So it's only by samskara that people can be elevated. According to karma, somebody is getting a particular birth. But now people's karma is so bad. So like this, the births are also not so good. But by chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one gets purified from all the karmas. Therefore one can be qualified to take up any kind of service if one has this purification of chanting the holy name and if one is initiated and guided by a bona fide spiritual master. At the time of Prithu Maharaj, this was in the former yugas, varnashram was very strictly followed. Nowadays, as I mentioned, that's not the case. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, guna karma vivagasa chatur varnam mayasristam guna karma vivagasa. I have given the four varnas, the four castes, in accordance with guna and karma, with their qualities and the nature of work. Of course, now the big problem is that people have taken all different kinds of work. They have developed different qualities, but they are still claiming the caste of the birth of their forefathers. So this has caused a disturbance. And in India, because of these disturbances and various political considerations, there's all kinds of mandal commissions and reservations and so many things. But all these don't actually uplift or change anything. They're again political adjustments. But by the system of Krishna consciousness, people are actually changed. Their people are uplifted. And this is actually what is needed in the world. When Lord Chaitanya predicted that this name will be chanted in all the towns and villages of the entire world, now, there are no brahmanas in the rest of the world. So how will those people be administered? So that's why, how will the temples be worshipped in the other parts of the world? So they say, the Vedas say that by samskara, someone can become a brahmana. So in the Krishna conscious movement, we don't follow In Krishna conscious movement, we follow the system that by samskara, people can become qualified to become brahmanas and worship the deities, even if they were born in another caste. But for that, they have to follow and develop the qualities of a brahmana. One has to be very careful, because the tendency is to revert back to one's original quality. Now what we're doing is not actually something completely new. It was done before also. Romaharshana, parent, was a Sudra on the one side, but he was elevated as a great Acharya. He was speaking to all the sages in Naimisharanya. But because he became very proud and he didn't offer respect to Balaram, then Balaram remembered that he's been elevated to this position, but now he has become unnecessarily proud. This is symptomatic of his former bad hereditary line, which he has not carefully avoided in his consciousness. Then Balaram liberated Romaharshana. Instead, his son was put on the seat. So we have to be careful that we don't think that even if by mercy of Guru and Krishna we become qualified to do some service, whether as a preacher. You're blocking the way, don't block. Go on this side. One of the qualities of the brahmanas, the qualities of the devotees, is to always be humble. To be equal to everyone. To be respectful to everyone. So, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is a reformatory process to purify us from all the contaminations of the previous births. It is a process of bhakti yoga. By bhakti yoga, we can get purified from all kinds of material contaminations. There was a discussion between one of the orthodox Hindu Mayavadis and a Krishna conscious devotee, preacher, where the Mayavadi was saying that you cannot get pure until you take another birth. Then only you can become a priest or a Hindu even. He said, why? Because your birth is sinful. And then the preacher was saying, what is more powerful? The power of sin or the power of the holy name of Vishnu? The person said, but you have eaten meat. I said, alright, what is more powerful? The power of the papa of eating meat or the power of purification of the holy name? Is papa the supreme or is Krishna the supreme? So because the holy name of the Lord is all powerful, therefore anyone can get purified from all kinds of contamination. But we should accept that as a very great and special mercy of the Lord, and never be proud even if we get the opportunity to chant. We should rather be grateful that Lord Chaitanya has made this possibility available to the otherwise hopelessly fallen people. Srila Prabhupada here gave a description about the modern day governmental situation. He brought up the point how it was so important that the governmental heads should know the Shastra. They should lead their people spiritually. But how this is lacking today. So as a result of a lack of this spiritual guidance, spiritual direction, therefore there are so many problems in the world. So Srila Prabhupada, he was looking to the Krishna conscious preachers to be able to provide the spiritual direction to the world. Srila Prabhupada's vision was that the whole world could be benefited by the Krishna consciousness movement. As he states here, the Krishna conscious principles can be followed by everyone in every part of the world. Whether it's in Saudi Arabia, or whether Red China, or whether Borneo, or whether in the Congo, or anywhere in the world, these principles of Krishna consciousness could be practiced. And by practicing them, people would benefit. Unfortunately, in many parts of the world, there is not the freedom to practice these Krishna conscious principles. You are already fortunate because you are born and you are living in India. So here in India, you have an opportunity to practice these Krishna conscious principles. But unfortunately, many people are not taking advantage of the great opportunity. Especially in a holy place like Tirupati, nobody will say anything if you wear tilak. Even if you wear the tilak in Calcutta or Delhi, people might say something. But here in Tirupati, I don't think anyone will say anything if you wear tilak. But still, not everyone is wearing tilak. Here it's very easy if someone wants to be vegetarian, to eat Krishna prasadam. But there are many people that are non-veg, even in a holy place like Tirupati. So full freedom is given. But we can use or misuse that freedom. If we utilize the freedom to practice our spiritual life, then in this human life we could get perfection. We could get freed from the cycle of birth and death. How long you're going to live in this body? Who can say? These bodies are all perishable. They only live maximum 100 years or so. And according to insurance companies, average is what? 70 something. 60s to 60 something to 70. That means someone's 25 years old, already one third of life gone. 40 years old means just the last stretch left. More than half gone, by average. Of course, then we can't say that we could go anytime. Therefore, it's very important that we practice these principles of Krishna consciousness now. The question is simply understanding, who am I? If we can understand that I am not the body, that actually I am the spirit soul, the Atma, the living force in the body. And the body will perish, but I won't perish. So while we're taking care of our body, at the same time, we should be coming, awakening our full spiritual consciousness. Otherwise, practically, we're wasting our valuable human life. If we think that, well, let me do it at the very end of life, then I can do it. Let me become God conscious at end of life, you see. It's like the story of the young carpenter who went into the jungle to get firewood. You know that story? You don't know. You know. There was a young carpenter, and he wanted to go to the forest to gather the wood so that he could use the wood for making furniture. Since the wood is free from the forest, he would make more profit. So he was going into the forest with his bag of saws, and chisels and hammer and everything. So then, one old carpenter saw him and said, "Where are you going, my friend?" "So I'm going to the forest to get wood." "But the forest is very dangerous," said the old carpenter. Because in the forest there's a ferocious tiger, man-eater. So you have to be very careful. You should take with you some weapon, a gun. Otherwise the tiger may eat you. Then the old carpenter went on, and the young carpenter was going to the forest. So the young carpenter, he thought, what does the old carpenter know? I have my saw. If any tiger comes, any time I can saw a branch off a tree, I'll pick up the branch over my head, I'll swing it around my head, and seeing me swinging the big branch around my head, the tiger will run away like a little pussy cat. Good idea? How many think that's a good idea? You heard what I said? You heard about the branch over the head? So how many think it's a good idea? How many think it's not a good idea? Women are not decided. They don't know much about tiger tattvas. They don't want to make a mistake. They'll wait till the end. So, then the young carpenter, he was gathering wood and he had a nice pile of wood that he was going to take back. But then in the distance, maybe 200 meters away, there was a young tiger, only 3-4 years old, only 9 feet long, baby one, not one of the 12 foot big ones. And then the tiger started running to him, very slowly running. So immediately he got his saw and he started to saw the branch. And he's sawing and sawing, sawing, sawing. But then the tiger, jumped on him and once broke his neck, drank his blood. He was killed. News got back to the village. Everyone was very sad to hear. So what is the moral of the story, of this analogy? Should not wait for the danger, one should be prepared. Any other moral?
One should listen to one's elders.
One should listen to one's elders. It's another moral. So who was that? Who was that young carpenter like? Follow elder, listen instruction. Listen to instruction of authority. So that young carpenter, he was like the, these karmakandis and yogis, who they think they leave off the liberation until later. They think that I'll prepare for that when it comes. When death comes, I'll suddenly prepare. But then suddenly when death is coming, there is no time. Or for the yogis, when the senses become very agitated, at that time, even if they try to do pranayama, they cannot control their senses. When Menaka came in front of Vishwamitra, he's trying to control his senses by mystic yoga, but it's very difficult. So the senses were out of his control. And because of that, Sakuntala was born from Menaka. Of course, the devas, they were worried about Vishwamitra, so Indra sent the Menaka, you go and disturb his meditation. So sometimes the devas and other subtle entities, they try to disturb the devotees and disturb the sadhus. By the process of mystic yoga, very difficult to protect oneself. The real protection is when we are constantly engaged in service of Krishna.
always chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is a mantra I hear most, that the young devotees, they're told by the elders, the parents, in many cases, the wife, you do too much religion. Wait till you get old. But if we wait till we're old before we practice, what is the guarantee that we'll take it up? Most of the elder people who are practicing were doing something earlier in their life, either in their childhood or some other time. Very rare case somebody can suddenly take up a new thing in the old age. This is something we have to cultivate throughout life. So the youth are known for being revolutionary. So we need revolutionary youth movement to revolt against the Maya. Revolt against the conditioning of material nature and take a full shelter of Krishna in all circumstances, whether in the house or whether in the ashram or wherever one might be. We are seeing in centuries before, people used to practice spiritual life more diligently in India. But the previous generation has become little, they've been putting it off. So now the young people should see, they could compare, who is more God conscious, their grandparents or their parents? Okay, to follow the previous system is better. Of course some parents are God conscious also, but hard to make any generalization. The point is that in modern India, the stress in TV and cinema and everything has been in a school, college, been against religion. But this Krishna consciousness is a universal principle for everyone. It's not a sectarian. Anyone in any part of the world can practice. So that is what's needed today. When you go to see Balaji in Tirumala, you can go on chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, no problem. If you go to see Lord Shiva in Kalahasti, you can also chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is universal for everyone. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted in all the temples of India. Whether Aman Temple, or whether Devi, or Morgan, or Vinayak, any temple, he would chant the same mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Actually, this mantra is to unify everyone. We can have one mantra for the whole world. This mantra is given by the Vedas and Puranas and Upanishads, that we should chant this mantra. This is a mantra Lord Chaitanya said everyone can chant. So we should have a facility so anyone coming to Tirupati, they can learn how to chant the mantra. Some people say that when they're standing before the deity, they can only keep concentration for a few minutes. Then the mind goes off. It's very hard to control the mind in this Kali Yuga. But if we go on chanting, then we can control the mind easily. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You see, here in this temple, there's only a few resident devotees, not so many. But there are many devotees in the community and the colleges around. So once in a while, on a Purnima or a Ekadasi or on some day in the week, you can have not only devotees of the temple, but all the devotees of the youth groups and the congregation. You could do a Harinam 6 in the morning to wake up all the people. They can rise from sleep hearing the names of Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. This is a revolutionary. The whole day begins by remembering God. Normally people are waking up, turning on All India Radio, find out where's the war, where's this, where's that, what politician is going to say what. They should wake up hearing the holy name of Krishna. Isn't it? So there's little things like this if you do. Lord Chaitanya used to do that. He'd go on early morning Harinam, chanting. And he would sing to the people, wake up, wake up. How long are you going to remain sleeping in Maya? Wake up and chant holy names of Krishna. I mean, we're doing Prabhupada sent us out doing this in Calcutta, 5:30, 6 in the morning, we were going, chanting. Then we'd see people open up their window and look out, rubbing their eyes, offering up and out. They'd wake up. This is a whole process of Krishna consciousness, to wake up the sleeping souls. Someone may come to the deity and pray, deity, please give me a good house, give me a good child, give me a good this, give me a good that. But they never realize what is their relationship with the deity. They're going with a shopping list, what they want. But they don't realize that the greatest gift is to have relationship with Krishna. He is our real friend. Other friends, they're only friends as long as you please them. When you don't please them, then they may also leave you. But Krishna is always with us as the Paramatma. But why don't we try to please Him? If we do a little bit to serve Krishna, He'll be very pleased with us. So the way we can begin is by chanting His holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Reading His teachings to us, which were given to us for our benefit. And we can accept His holy prasad, the remnants of His food. That everyone likes. People are coming from miles away just to get the Tirupati Ladus. Balaji Ladu. People like prasad. So this process is simple. You should take prasad, chant Hare Krishna, and study Gita and Bhagavad. Hare Krishna. Everyone who likes this process, raise their hand. Gita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Any questions? Question? Who does she say got it? Somebody's God, but not Krishna. You see, how do we know about God? How is it possible we can know about God? We only know about God from the Shastra. Just like that lady is God's father. But how does she know who her father is? How does she know who the father is? She had to learn from her father. She had to learn from her mother. Because she wasn't available when the mother was, when the father was there. Only mother knows who the father is. The mother said, this is your father. Like that, we don't know who God is. We can only know from our mother. Mother is the Shastra. Scripture is telling us who God is. So when Krishna came down, he told Arjuna that I am God. Then Arjuna said, I believe you. Because Devala, Narada and all great authorities, they also say the same thing. There may be others who won't believe you. So if you can show your universal form, I'll believe you. Then Krishna showed universal form. This way he proved that he was the Supreme Godhead. But you can tell that lady that all right, whether you believe or don't believe, we don't mind. That's your free will. But we challenge her. Let her chant Hare Krishna every day for 1 year. Let her chant for half hour, 1 hour a day for 1 year. At the end of the year, then she says that nothing happened to her, no change in her life. That will be proof to us. She can prove there is no God. She can chant every day for hours and hours and prove that nothing changed with her. But so far, anybody who chanted, they changed. There is the power of the mantra. But you say, this mantra is so powerful, we are not afraid. Even you have no faith, you chant it, still you'll feel the change. Tell it to be a scientist, do experiments. That all the atheists get together and chant Hare Krishna all day long, then prove that nothing happens. See how many people remain atheists. Any other question? The two episodes.
Gajendra episode is that Prabhupada says that Gajendra while quenching his thirst in an elbowed pond, a crocodile caught on her leg, it seems. And Gajendra fought with the crocodile for some years, it seems. And later when she felt that completely she's helpless, then she tried to take help of Lord Krishna. Here Prabhupada praises Gajendra that he fought initially until he could do it. And only he sought the help of Krishna when she was completely out of
the bring, if you're going to talk another verse, you see, this question-answer period is for this verse. If you bring a whole new verse up, then no one else knows what you're talking. Then we have to read that verse and purport, you have to bring that book. Then we have a Ishtagosti, we bring up other verses. Otherwise now everyone else gets, they don't know what you're talking, so it's more like an individual question. For any clarification on this verse we read today, that when you bring the Shastra, we can discuss. Alright, thank you. Hare Krishna.